I'm Arthur Burns. I'm Professor of Modern British History at King's College London, and I'm also Academic Director of the Georgian Papers Project, a major initiative to digitise the papers of George III held at Windsor Castle. So if we ask the question, what were elections about in the late 18th century? I think the key to that is trying to get away from thinking about it in the terms that we think about elections, because it's easy to do that. A lot of the structures and organisations and occasions look broadly similar. We have voters, we have hustings, we have campaigns, we have MPs elected by getting the largest number of votes. So all of that is very familiar, but it easily disguises the fact that the kind of things we would assume voters are thinking about are not the things that voters are necessarily thinking about in the 18th century. So I think if you asked someone today, voting in the general election, what are you choosing when you cast your vote, they would most likely say, I'm making a choice between which party should form the government and perhaps who should be the prime minister. It increasingly seems to be moving towards a presidential field. And if you then said to them, well, how do you make that choice? They would probably say, well, I look at their policies on the issues that are most important to me, whether it be the health service or education or taxation. But I think if you go back to the 18th century, the absolutely fundamental point to understand is that for voters then, there is probably no inclination or indeed grounds for thinking that these are about choosing a government or about choosing a prime minister, because those decisions are very firmly the prerogative of the king in this period. So it's the king who will choose who the ministers are, the king who will decide who's the prime minister, and those decisions are not really thought about in the way we do in terms of party, they're thought about in terms of individuals. So all you are choosing in an election is who is your MP. And the grounds on which you might choose that are therefore going to be very different, because you're not having any influence over government policy. And in any case, government policy doesn't cover most of the things we would now look to. There's no welfare policy, there's no education policy. All that there is the raising of taxes and the fighting of wars, in a sense, of the major decisions that are being taken by government. And that exaggerates slightly, but it's not a complete exaggeration. Therefore, how do you decide who to vote for? You've got to decide how far this MP will be the MP who best serves the interests of your constituency. And that will force you to think about very different things than we might think about, because there isn't an option to think in any other way. That you can't, even if you want to, influence any policy about education or welfare through this, because all those things are done locally. So what are you going to be looking for? You're going to be looking for someone who will perhaps represent your community as it watches over government. So the nearest thing is if you think now the way you might elect a backbench MP who you think has a good record of holding ministers to account or asking difficult questions, that is rather nearer to the role that some of these MPs are going to be playing. The idea of Parliament, after all, in its origins, is to prevent the monarch governing without consent and not overspending and not raising taxes without the consent of the political nation. That's as far as it's going to be political, in the sense that we understand it. Very occasionally, a political issue may creep in at the edges when there's a particular crisis. And the nearer we move towards 1832, and one of the reasons why the 1832 Reform Act is going to come about, is that more and more policy issues like that are beginning to rise. But certainly in the late 18th century, it's fairly rare. And one really good example of that is the 1784 election. Because there, in a sense, what the issue is who chooses the government. Because it's come about because of a crisis, partly through the Fox North Coalition, which has been, the king sees it, been forced upon him by the command those ministers have in House of Commons against his will, and he's been briefing against it. And in a way, when he's then appointed William Pitt, who has his support but doesn't necessarily have a massive following in the House of Commons, the issue can become, well, who should be choosing the government? And as far as that general election returns a result on that, the result is the king. The voters are not clear that it's right that the House of Commons should have forced a prime minister on the nation. So the elections are not like ours, even if they take place in the same structures. And that leaves space for other issues to come forward, which we might talk about in a few minutes.